I'm Melissa Robinson, the Arts and Culture Reporter for Utah Public Radio. UPR is a community-based organization, and we want to hear from you. What do you want to hear on the radio? Tell us about your experiences with arts and culture. Please visit our website at upr.org or call us at 1-800-826-1495. You can also share ideas with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Just be sure to include the hashtag IAMUPR.
Back with Gerda Saunders. She is author of Memory's Last Breath, Field Notes on My Dementia. It's out, well worth the read. And in this book, let me just quote her. She says, when I turned 61 in 2011, I was diagnosed with cerebral microvascular disease, a precursor of dementia. I retired from my job as the Associate Director of Gender Studies at University of Utah. Since I've always processed my life stages by writing about them, I started keeping a journal about the effect of my brain's unraveling on my identity. 5 years later, I completed a book-length memoir, Memory's Last Breath, and that's what we're talking about on the program today. Grateful Gerda Saunders is with us. So Gerda Saunders, I wonder, so you made reference before the break. I wonder if maybe have you expand on this. You said what was important to you was to live life in the moment and to do those things that you knew maybe 5 years from now you wouldn't be able to do. What are some examples? What kinds of things?
Well, before I retired, you know, in that period when we all live looking forward to our retirement, I always imagined that I would write, and I had two novels that are unfinished. One is all but done, and the other one is, I've done a lot of work on. And that's what I thought I would do, but my last year of work was so hard. It just took all my emotional energy, and part of what took it was that I had to write like a 100-page document for our program, and you know, the university, all universities have started, you know, documenting everything, having policies and procedures for everything, and so we were working on all those formal documents, and I was the main writer on it, although, you know, I was, people in a committee, you know, helped me and supported me, but I did the actual writing. And it was so hard. I had to do research, so I would be writing on my computer on one screen, and then I would research something, and by the time I got to the research screen, I couldn't remember what it was that I had to find. Then I had to go back to that screen, and this happened to and fro all the time until I developed a method to write a little longhand note, jot it on a piece of paper for myself that this is what I'm working with. And then I would go to the research team and then I'd make a little jot of a note, this is what I found. And with that note-taking, I was able to write that document. But I was so fresh out of that experience and so exhausted when I retired that I could not even imagine writing. I just, you know, I was really almost non-functional. And it took me 6 months to get out of that state of mental exhaustion. And of course, the more tired you are, less your brain works. But just after I retired, I thought, well, I'll just have a look at these things that my novel that I wanted to finish. And I could not get a grasp on something so big. You know, I had like 400 or 500 pages, and I was trying to get into it. And I could not, you know, even with an outline, I could not figure out how these things were fitting together and what it was that I wanted to change. So I completely set off that. And that is when I mainly wrote my journal. And then when I felt refreshed after about 3 or 4 months, I went back and still was not able to deal with a novel. So in that way, that goal of mine sort of disappeared. So I knew it was unlikely that I could do that, but I was very interested in my dementia, And also, it wasn't something already existing of hundreds of pages. I felt I could write an essay about it, and an essay was a smaller, manageable thing. So that is how I kind of think what I want, but it's always within the realm of what is still possible. And for me, those priorities are really my family, my husband first, you know, to spend as much good time with him as we can. So we really don't travel so well anymore. It's very disorienting for me, and of course very exhausting for him too, because he's going to think for two people all along the way. And so we will travel, but we're not going to go see the world. And so other goals are to just also spend time with my children and my family, and just live in the moment of working in my garden and so on. But writing is still a goal that I have, and to write what is possible for me at each stage of deterioration. And right now, I write about my dementia, not very regularly, but I do write about it on my website, and just like little vignettes about, you know, things that go wrong and what I think about them and so on. But I do have one goal that's very important to me, and that is I'm making family history books for my children. And I have done a lot of work on it in years before, but I'm still only a quarter way through. And I am going to spend my bulk of my remaining writing time to write my and my husband Peter's family histories for my children, because I've done, you know, my in-law side of the family. I've taken information from them and written theirs, but I haven't done ours yet. So that is very important to me to be doing. So that's a big goal now for as long as I can.
Yeah, that's a wonderful goal. I want to have you talk about it. You talk about this in the book, about identity. Because with progressive dementia, what we think of as identity, you'll be losing that. It'll be fading. There'll come a time when there'll be a disconnect, perhaps, between what's going on in your mind and your identity. How do you deal with that?
I think for me, again, it's not that different from other big life transitions. And the most obvious one for me is that my husband and I emigrated from South Africa when we were in our mid-30s. And you know, growing up in a country and being with a community who loves you and so on, and going from there to where not a single person knows you. It was just me and my husband and our two children. My daughter Marissa was 7 and my son Newton was 4. And we were really this little family unit all on our own. And I think one defines yourself so much through your community and your friends and your extended family. And suddenly there was nothing of that. So all of us, and me in particular, I say me in particular because my children went to school. My husband came here because he had a job. I did not have a work permit to work here. So I had, you know, I was a full-time parent, which I've always loved being, and I threw myself into that. But that throwing myself into it was a search for what can I be now. So now I have no friends to go and have tea with. I have no family, no regular family events happening. So the first thing I did was and in those days, the schools had a gifted and talented program, and I worked in that as a volunteer and, you know, did little programs with kids and taught science. And so it was an example of how I didn't know who I was. So, okay, I go, I fall back on myself. Okay, I know science. I'm going to do that. You build a new identity out of scraps of your old identities. And for me, the diagnosis of dementia was in many ways similar. But with dementia, you have more forewarning. You know, if it's with an immigrant, you're there one day, you're here another day. In dementia, this creeps up on you over a period of years. So that my diagnosis was not as shocking to me as I think it was to most other people. But I already had the erosion of my self-image long before I retired because, you know, why can't I be this functional person that I used to be? So for me, the writing of the book and even what I do now to talk about dementia and to be an advocate for people with dementia, even that is, in a way, a desperate attempt to find a little something of myself that I can call my own. And with dementia, it's just harder than in other situations because you losing your ability to function and also to think logically. For me, I can still think logically when I'm sitting down and I'm writing or talking to you now. You should know that I spent hours preparing for this interview by, you know, writing topics and writing down topics and Christy sent me some questions that you might ask, and I worked with them, and I wrote them out longhand on pieces of paper, and then I made little note cards. I'm not referring to those note cards much now, but I had to do this in order to be able to do this interview, because my short-term memory is shot. So I can talk about my childhood till tomorrow morning. But if you ask me what happened yesterday, it's very much harder. So all of this is part of me shaping a new identity continuously, because I cannot go anywhere unprepared. And I mean, I cannot go to the mall without my phone. My husband tracks me on a GPS tracker. I cannot go without my home phone number with everything written down. So in case I get lost or something and I forget it, I can have it. So everything that I used to do takes much more time and energy. And that hampers the process of just sitting down and thinking about a new identity. Yeah. But it's all about identity, really.
Let's take another break. When we come back, more our last segment with Gerda Saunders. She's author of a new book, Memory's Last Breath, Field Notes on My Dementia. More following this.